Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, that podcast focused on that zero emission future that we all hope for. Every week I get joined by one of the wonderful members of the team of the EV Cafe. And this week, no exception, I have the lovely, the delightful Sarah Sloman. Sazzy, how are you?
Well, hello. I am delighted to be here. And the wonderful John Curtis is in Westminster chairing the awesome Net Zero Club. So when I got the opportunity to come on, I jumped at the chance. Now, I'm not going to give away who the guest is. I do always accidentally give away their name. But you can tell us, who have we got on today?
Well, you're absolutely right, Sarah, but well done. You've been very good. I do appreciate it when the EV Cafe team are very good, because they're not always. But anyway, we have got a wonderful old friend of the EV Cafe. We have known this lovely individual for some time, and he has played a really key and pivotal role in many events that we've been a part of, and now works for the lovely Drax, of course, a very good sponsor of both the EV Cafe and also the EV Cafe News. Fabulous. And his name is Rosario. Rosario, you are very welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway. What are you doing at the wonderful Drax these days?
So I work in the Drax EV team, so supporting organisations with their transition to electric vehicles, effectively just trying to give them, help support them with their strategy and plans on kind of making sure that they get the right infrastructure in.
It's an exciting role, it sounds like, and one that is so important for the industry. And, you know, I guess joining a company like Drax gives you such a breadth of opportunity. What sort of projects do you get involved in?
So Drax is quite a big beast. You know, the largest renewable energy company in the UK and part of the National Critical Infrastructure. So from a wider business perspective, there is a lot going on. My key focus really is in and around supporting those UK businesses with EV charging infrastructure, doing fleet reviews and site capacity reviews, and helping them then understand exactly what that means and how we can plan for the rollout across multiple sites that that they have in the UK.
Well, you are quite the man for the job, Rosario. You are a long-standing EV advocate and EV expert. And not many people can say that, because our industry is still very new. And we know that in order to be an expert in anything, it's decades. But you've managed to cram that in very successfully. And we crossed paths very briefly, both at Elmtronics, as it were, before it became acquired. But you talked a little bit there about the team at Drax and all the different departments that Drax has. And I do think it's synonymous with electricity production, but people don't understand that Drax, particularly the EV arm, does so much. And you've actually got loads of people working there. Why don't you give a shout out to some of the awesome people who work with you there that I'm sure our listeners will know?
So I'll give a shout out to Naomi, who's the head of sales, to Kevin, James, and Lindsay, who all work on in my team. So we are the face. We're the ones who go out and do the consultation piece. But then yes, there is a very large team behind us who actually do all of the hard graft. We you know, sometimes I think they think you know, that we get all the fun and taking part in all of these sorts of things, but we do some work as well.
You also have a lot of fun. This we know. And we've seen you on the EV Rally. We've seen you at the Green Fleet Awards. We know that your team is vibrant and fun. But you did talk about some serious stuff there strategically. Now, I'm in strategy too, so I understand that strategy changes all the time. It's about making the best fit plan work and not falling into any of the potholes, pun intended, as you go forward with your infrastructure. So is site capacity, as you cited yourself there, the main issue that you encounter?
So, I mean, yes, it is one of the key challenges that organisations face. It's then trying to understand exactly what the client is trying to achieve on that site with their fleet of vehicles, how their vehicles actually work and operate, how many miles they do in a day. Are they kind of stopped on site for an extended period of time, being loaded, unloaded? So putting all of that information together along with the site capacity then helps us try and get a true understanding of actually what is possible on that site. Is more power going to be needed, or can they get away with using the power that they currently have to be able to effectively operate the fleet as they would like?
Rosaria, it sounds like that you don't just deal with those boring things with glass all around them called cars. It sounds like you're getting into the wonderful world of commercial vehicles, which is far more interesting. Tell me, is that possible? Do you help commercial vehicle fleets? Because it sounds like that's where perhaps the challenge is a little bit more.
So, yeah, I think within the industry, sort of five, six years ago, I think cars was the main focus. I think over the last few years, definitely commercial van fleet operators is kind of where it's moving towards. I love a challenge, so they are more challenging. So yes, I do, enjoy getting involved in those, but there's also been, within my career, some truck operators that I've kind of helped and supported as well, which was kind of pretty interesting to kind of work on a project of that sort of scale. So yes, cars, kind of when I was younger, cars were definitely my favourite, but I do love a van now.
Yes! See, that's what we love. We love new parties coming into the van world and really getting to grips with that world. But, I mean, you mentioned when you were younger. I mean, that can't have been very long ago because, clearly you're a young man. But when you were younger, what did the future look like for you? Did you imagine this as you looked out over, how did you get into the world of decarbonisation, and how did you get into this world in the first place?
When I was younger, I said I loved cars and technology. I remember I used to take my remote control car to pieces just to try and work out how they worked. So kind of that's kind of my sort of interest within this industry. I mean, the technology it just is advancing at such a vast pace that my brain is constantly whirring, trying to kind of keep up with the changes that are happening with batteries, with charging speeds, software updates that are constantly kind of happening as well. So, and regulations as well, let's not forget those. So it definitely keeps me on my toes and keeps me interested. I think it was kind of 11, 12 years ago now, I was kind of looking at myself and trying to think of what interests me. And I think it was the sort of cars and technology that kind of did interest me. And at that time, I remember BMW was looking for iGeniuses, and I kind of started looking at, applying for roles in that sort of industry, and actually ended up having a chat with Colin, and kind of that then was my entry point into this industry, and what a learning curve it has been over the last 11 years.
For those who don't know, Colin...
I'm
going to give a little gem away.
You carry on.
You carry on. Okay, I will. Colin
you carry on.
God, he's still at it. Pantomime never leaves Paul. Still going ahead. Colin Boyton is in fact part of the Green Fleet family and runs the EV Rally, the Green Fleet EV Rally. And we talked a little bit earlier, Rosario, about how much fun you have, and I want to come to you about the EV Rally, but Paul, come on, chip in. What was it?
I was just going to tell everybody who Colin was. And of course we have talked to Colin on the podcast, so you can go and hear how Colin is an infectious character, isn't he? I mean, he's passionate about the space, and it's great that he gave you his first opportunity, your first opportunity in this space. So it's great. But anyway, back to you, Saz.
The EV rally is something that happens in many different shapes and forms. And I really was taken with the amazing team ethos by Drax. And you guys hosted a tremendous stop. And I wondered if you could tell the audience all about what you did for the visitors to your site that day, because it was a real eye-opener.
God, you're testing my memory here now. I feel like, yeah, I might have blocked some of that off, if I'm being perfectly honest, by the end of the week. So we hosted one of the checkpoints at our converted coal fire station up in Selby. So we produce energy through biomass at that site there now. And within the Welcome Centre, which is across the road from there, we effectively had a little bit of information on the different elements of the work that we do, from an energy production point of view, an energy supply point of view, and then also EV charging.
Well, that's the whole picture, though. That's why I asked. It was a bit of a loaded question, because, of course, the message out there is that we need to drive something that isn't going to pollute the air. And that really only sustainably massively stacks up if it's making sure it's as renewable as possible, the energy that's in the grid that we then consume out of the grid into our vehicles. And having that information, and something I've really admired about working with you and Naomi and Lindsay and all the people you mentioned earlier, is the information that Drax takes the time to translate. I've seen articles on the importance of the OCPI 2.0.1, if I've got that right. Oh no, OCPP 2.0.1, and what that means for the consumer and your clients when they're procuring hardware for their site that becomes scalable and moves with their growth patterns as well. And were you part of that research project?
So I wasn't part of the research project, but I see that day in, day out. I think, you know, kind of what's the reality, you know, when you go and meet a client, and there are some that we're supporting that have got non-compliant OCPP hardware where their previous or the organization that installed them either no longer exists or is no longer supporting those chargers. And then the reality of what happens, you know, to pick up the pieces after they've kind of been let down or purchased infrastructure that can't be taken over by another organisation, and then offering the future proofing aspects of, you know, the OCPP 2.01 and ISO 11819, I think it is.
Trying.
Yeah, exactly. So just trying to, there we go. Thank you. so, you know, kind of trying to just make sure that the customer kind of understands those better than I do, obviously. And also what implications that has in the future. So if they're not happy with the service that we're providing with, you know, providing them, then they can up and leave us and move to a different back office supplier, which I think is really important. It keeps us on our toes, but it means that it gives our customers the flexibility and knowledge that if we don't deliver on our promises, they're not going to get stuck with redundant hardware.
Now then, both of you, hold out your hands. Come on.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, it's going to... I know what this is. This is going to be punishment for using
there
acronyms.
There you go. There's the ruler. There's the ruler. It's ready. That's it.
Sorry.
No more acronyms, please. So, good luck with this one. OCCP. There you go. Come on.
OCPP,
what is it?
OCPP is Open Charge Point Protocol.
There you go. Fabulous. But to Rosario's point, it does actually mean something, doesn't it? Because it does give customers insight into what is going on in the background. And that, you know, and we're seeing that more and more. And I think the 2.0.1 that Sarah referred to is really that level of detail that you get into that operators can now see. And of course, you can as well. So you can intervene. And are we seeing a lot of kind of control over the air now and being able to kind of really monitor the chargers and maximize that uptime? Because one of those things that lots of those naysayery type people, they do point out that chargers tend to break a lot. And that has been the case. We can't escape that fact, but we are doing real stuff to make sure it doesn't happen in the future. Talk to us about how you keep your customers you know, maximizing uptime on the chargers.
So through the OCPP or Open Charge Point Protocol, so we have
thank you.
we have a team here at head office that remotely monitors all of the chargers on our network. So a lot of the time, they actually can see whether or not there's a communication loss with a charger before our client has even realized that there is a potential issue. So they'll either get in touch with the customer and let them know, look, we've noticed that this charger has actually dropped off. We're monitoring it and we'll let you know if we can't fix it remotely and or if we need to send an engineer to site or if there's something that you might be able to do on site in order to resolve it. And that's the kind of key there is, you know, you quite rightly said that acronym has a meaning and it actually helps us do something, and it's the ability to be able to monitor the infrastructure to keep it active and up and running for our clients for as long as is possible. But then obviously there's also things in terms of reporting functionality that, you know, customers will you know, they'll have to report on, you know, greenhouse gas emissions, not to use GHG, and all of those sorts of things. So they are really important from a company perspective, you know, and to be able to actually showcase what it is that they're managing to achieve with the infrastructure that they've installed.
I love that. That is meaningful, proactive. That's a brilliant partnership to build upon. And that's the beauty of software. I've long said that software is the key to our industry. Equipment can be designed, tested, built, stress tested, redesigned, reinstalled. And the best way to maximize that investment is having really good software to underpin it. And of course, payments is my favorite thing ever. But I'd like to get back to something that we touched on far too briefly. And that is the plight of the commercial vehicle, the lifeblood of our country, and how hard it is for people to have the same sort of on par measures that we can do for the private car. And we saw you recently, really recently, actually, at the commercial vehicle show. And we were there having a wonderful time in our EV Cafe Village. And thank you so much for being part of it. Fun and games again. See, they had darts, they had all sorts of competitive nature stuff to engage with the audience. But it got me really thinking, because the commercial vehicle show this year was so good for the number of people who came along to learn. There was a time when we said, put your hand up if you're already a fleet manager. And very few of them actually were. They were there to procure infrastructure or to listen to the people presenting. I thought that was a fantastic reflection. And you have been doing a lot of work on the workplace charging. And I didn't know, I really thought it was over, that the workplace charging scheme is now extended to the 31st of March, 2026. Is that right, Rosario?
Yeah, that's correct. It's £350 gross per socket that is installed, up to a maximum of 40 sockets per organisation. So it got announced very late, if I'm being perfectly honest. It was, I genuinely did not think that it was given the situation we're currently in as a country financially, I genuinely did think that it was going to get stopped. So it was great when it got announced that it was being extended.
Yeah, I was delighted too. And I was really hoping to tap into both you and Paul about what is currently the most popular charger and its power rating. So I hear a lot about 25 kilowatt DC charging being a really good bet. Obviously also dual port 22s that divide 10.9 between the two vehicles. Without giving away your commercial sensitivity, I genuinely was interested to learn from you guys, both of you, what do you think is the best charging power for commercial vehicles?
Oh gosh.
Do you want me to jump in on that one there, Paul?
Yes.
You go.
It's really difficult to give you that answer. And the reason for that is because every single organization, from my perspective, runs their fleet differently. So their vehicle mileages are different. The commercial vehicle makeup is different. So, you know, some of them will be kind of limited to, 7, 11 and 22 kilowatt AC charging rate. And if we can maximize, if we can use the power that they've got available and use AC, then I tend to try and go for that because it helps us keep the costs lower, because DC charging infrastructure is, in terms of the charging equipment itself, is a lot more expensive. So it's a really difficult one to kind of give you a specific answer on. It is all about each individual usage case and customer case and site case.
I do you know what? I couldn't have said it better. The when somebody says to me, "What's your favourite van, Paul?" Well, I don't actually have a favourite van, because they, you know, or what's the best van? Because that's a more objective question, isn't it? You know, the sort of favourite is subjective, but what's the best van? Well, you know, what ticks all the boxes? Well, there isn't a best van, because if you need a big van, a small van isn't the best van, and if you need a small van, the big van isn't the best van. So there are good and bad, of course, in all things, but there's right and wrong. But I think that's the point. It's got to be right, and it's got to be fit for purpose. It's got to do the job that you need. And, you know, to Rosario's point, you don't want to spend thousands and thousands and thousands on high power charging just because you want to have high power charging. But if you need high power charging and you actually have only got 30 minutes to stop and go, you know, and you want to recycle your vehicle, the vehicle's value far outweighs the short to medium term investment in infrastructure, because, you know, it allows you to carry on doing what you want to do because you're able to get in a lot of energy in a short space of time. And of course, it depends on the vehicle technology as well, because if the vehicle won't take more than 50 kilowatts on a charge, and there are some commercial vehicles out there that are still just at that base 50 kilowatt level, although much less now, mostly it's sort of starting at around 100 and going on beyond there for DC charging, and most are going to 11, if not 22 for AC, then it's starting to, you know, so Rosario's absolutely hit the nail on the head, as we would expect, that use case is everything.
Totally agree with Paul there, Rosario. You are such an expert that you've just nailed that answer. And I wanted to ask you one more, if that's okay. We were thinking about another piece of research that Drax got involved in, not necessarily just you. I'm just interested in your view with your experience. So ZapMap obviously have oodles of data, more data than you could ever shake a stick at. And what I know that Drax have been doing is around the destination charging piece. So you've been helping people to understand, landowners, helping people to understand where there's really good opportunities by looking at heat maps prepared by ZapMap as to where a good destination charging site could go. What's your feel in the market at the moment for how important destination charging is versus the on-the-go public charging that we see at things like motorway service areas? When do you think that tipping point will come for people?
It's a tricky one to answer. I all I can do is answer this one as me, as an EV driver who's out on the road quite a lot, using his EV for business, right? So I'm trying to throw myself in as a potential typical user. For me, I try to minimize the amount of EV charging that I do on motorway services, cost mainly. And also, I kind of, if I'm being truthful, it's very rare now with the range of the EV that I drive and those that my colleagues that do, you know, a similar role to me actually drive, where they actually have to do, or we have to do, a lot of charging up at motorway services. So for me, it is really important to for destination, especially at hotels, to kind of really pick up pace, because it's really frustrating that there are so many hotels when you're traveling around the UK that do not have any EV charging whatsoever. And also, if I'm really honest, please stop putting DC rapid chargers in a hotel. Don't need it. 7 kilowatt charger, please. I'll use it overnight. Thank you. I'll plug it in when I get there, and then go to the hotel, go to bed, and pick it up fully charged in the morning. So, you know, I really do think that there's a real critical role for destination charging, if I'm being perfectly honest. It really needs to kind of step up pace now.
And hopefully the work and the research and stuff that we have done and are doing, and hopefully me sort of, you know, shouting about it, will kind of like help that.
Yeah, I knew you'd be an advocate of it, because actually you've got to think about the destination charging has its place, and we know that that overlaps with public charging so much. And you've said hotels. I'm saying multi-story car parks where you're also overnight, so city centres. It doesn't even have to be 7 kilowatts. I've just paid to park for 30 hours. And I would absolutely love to be able to bolt onto that booking. Yeah. It's a booking. They're expecting me. I've been given the bay to park in. Why can't I pay a set amount? And they're going to win some and lose some, right? But if it was 20 quid for me, take a chance on that. You can charge me up when it's cheap overnight. I don't care. But I want to return to a fully charged car. Paul, sorry. Over to you.
No, that absolutely fine. I agree. I'm all about destination charging. That just will, you know, I can charge a couple of hours. Sadly, it seems to fall under the legislative kind of levels, so you can't just pay and go. And you know, you have to sign up for apps. I went to Bath recently. And an organization, I think it was EV Energy or somebody. Anyway, they've been bought by Genie Point, and could I get the thing to start? No, of course I couldn't. So I faffed around for 15 minutes, and it just got irritating. But because it's below the legislation, people kind of take a liberty, right? But you guys would sort that out, wouldn't you? Because you'll be able to see it, and you'll be able to go and sort it out and take care of it. Anyway, that's all good. But Rosario, you sound like somebody that wants to help. You yes. sound like somebody that wants to make a difference. You've come into the industry. You know, what is it in you that makes you want to help? Why are you this kind of person that wants to help, wants to make a difference? You know, I mean, were you brought up well? You know, was school easy for you? And you just kind of popped out this perfect human being that wants to make a difference? Or did events kind of get you to where you are?
I'm genuinely not really sure. Being brought up well, I think I'd answer yes. I think my parents absolutely did do a very good job. I think it's potentially just being quite respectful of others, and I think that's kind of like been instilled in me from quite a young age. And I actually find it the best part of my job. Is helping our client find the right solution. And, you know, there are many people that I speak to that know absolutely nothing about what they need to do in order to kind of achieve the goals that that they've been set. So it's kind of, I feel brilliant when at the end of it, we've got the right infrastructure in place, and they're up and running and working, and I've got a happy customer at the end of it. That's what really gives me a buzz. You know, I think if you were to ask Naomi what, you know, kind of so my manager, you know, kind of what would be a success for Rosario, it's kind of 100,000 charge points installed by the end of this year, please. I am a customer centric person, so I believe that starting in that way, really looking after the customer, making sure that they get a really good service, is what will achieve for me that 100,000 charges by the end of the year. Because if you look after people, then, you know, they'll tend to come back to you, and they'll tend to, you know, put in a good word with somebody else that they know. And that's the way I've always kind of tried to build my pipeline over the years.
Fantastic. And that's exactly the right way to win business, to give good service. Customers are going to want to come back and want to be helped. And it's great. Companies are good, and there are lots of great companies out there. But if the people aren't right, then the company almost doesn't matter. I mean, and in some cases, you can get away with it being a great company and having like not so great people. But I think, you know, the best companies employ the best people and have the right people in the right place. And Sounds to me like they've done a pretty damn good job there, Rosario. Now, Rosario, we have a closing tradition. So you've had the ruler, you've had the rap on the knuckles, but we now have the magic wand, the EV Cafe magic wand, and you get presented this as a closing tradition. It's got the lightning bolt there, just like Saz's cardboard one there, and we hand you this. We pass this over the airwaves, so you've got to take the magic wand, and so here it comes. There you go. You got it. Right. So Rosario, you now hold the magic wand of power, and you have one wish, just one. I'm sorry, you can't have more, and you can use it however you like. So we've had world peace, obviously. We've had unlimited power. We've had a personal chef from one person, which will be coming out shortly. So you could use it however you like. How would you use your one wish? And Naomi's listening.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. I think this, right, so if I've only got one wish, then I think it would go back to part of the conversation we had earlier in relation to power. So I genuinely think that a lot of the misconceptions is the grid going to cope? Whereas I believe that the grid is absolutely fine and not the problem, but actually the issue that organizations are having at the moment in relation to power constraints is down to the DNO, so the distribution network operators. So the getting the power locally, not nationally, that's where the issue really truly lies. And my magic wish would be, please, can we make things a lot more simpler, quicker, and more effective in order to kind of help support these customers that just basically want to get a little bit more power and get the projects moving forward. 2 years, I think we've had one client where it took 2 years to get 160 amps of power. I mean, that's not really a lot. 2 years in order to try and get that new supply to site is just too long. And it drags projects. It means that for an extended period of time, we're stuck. We can't do anything because until that power is available, we literally cannot help and support the client in any which way, shape or form.
We've had quite a few words beginning with the letter P on this session. First of all, we started with procurement, choosing the right partner. And then we talked about what this is really, getting the power. I agree with you. We generate plenty of power, just getting it to where it needs to be. And in order for that, you need patience and a lot of pounds, because sometimes these connections can be fairly pricey. Let's get all of it. But as we reach the end
she's
of our time,
roll.
A roll. I'm sure you could have said prowl or something equally as P-worthy. But seeing as we've had such a lovely conversation together, I always feel the need to reflect back to the guests and how wonderful they are. That's why we wanted you on the show. We were graced with Adam. I think Adam came on in Adam Hall, sorry, came on in October time. Amy's been on as well. Mm-hmm. And now you as well. So it's a great pleasure to confirm that you are a wonderful customer centric person. And you probably haven't seen it, but in the chat, I was like, he is so kind all the time in capital letters, because you are endlessly gracious and polite, and you're genuinely interested when people speak to you. And that, I think, is why Drax are so lucky to have you, Rosario. So it's with personal thanks from me that you've been on our show.
Oh, thank you. And thank you both. You've too kind, but it's been an absolute pleasure. So thank you very much.
Very good, and it's been great having the partnership with Drax. I was really excited to go into the Hollow Mountain. Yeah, I went into the Hollow Mountain and saw all the big turbines and all the power that you guys generate. So you're not only part of the solution in the distribution of the charging infrastructure, the bit that you do, but you've got different projects all over the country that are looking to solve the problem of power in your own way. And I think it's a fantastic holistic approach to the challenges of electrification. So it's great, and we so value the fact that you've been on the show. We've had a lot of fun, we've smiled a lot, and it's always good. And good use of the magic wand. Why? Very wise, very wise. And so we'll take it back and take it for the next user. But thank you, Rosario. Thank you, Saz, for that wonderful reflection. Lots of peas. It's making me hungry now for my tea. Fish chips and peas. Thanks, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. Listen, check in to all of the podcasts. You can get them on Apple and Spotify. We've been doing this for over 2 years now. My goodness. And we've got lots of amazing people telling amazing things about, you know, how problems get solved, the solutions that are out there, and the wonderful people, another good P of our industry. And it's been fantastic. So check it out. You can link with Rosario on LinkedIn, of course. You're there, aren't you, Rosario? You can also follow Drax there. We'll put all their links into the description of this podcast for you to check it out in the future. So check out all the other ones. They're almost as good as this one, but you'll enjoy them nonetheless. Saz, thanks for your company today. Been amazing.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Paul. Thank you. And thanks for having the name Paul so it matches my P theory.
Rosario, you fail on the P front, I'm afraid. Sorry about that. But it's been great having you as well. And until next time, everybody, have a great day.